I love that. It got loud. The fire came. The church was born. I don't know if yesterday you were watching the royal wedding. Who watched the royal wedding yesterday? Seen it okay? Marvellous. This was the preacher. He was the American Episcopalian Bishop Michael Curry. And it was a pretty good sermon. It was fabulous. Certainly something that wouldn't usually be heard in the very staid and proper St. George's Chapel. It was brilliant. And if you haven't seen it, do find a way to do so. Nearly as brilliant have been people's reactions to it, not just in the chapel, where I think there were some people who were not expecting such a passionate and prophetic and powerful sermon. I had much fun watching people look like they had hemorrhoids. There were lots of bottoms squirming on seats. So it wasn't just the reaction of the people in the chapel, but the reaction of people outside of the chapel. The wider public, huge reaction on social media. The sermon is being talked about, and as a preacher, I love that. Christians in general loved it. But for other people, it's been a bit Marmite. You either loved it or you hated it. But I've had non-Christian friends text me and Facebook message me about how if every sermon was like that, they would be in church. I may tell them that actually they probably wouldn't, but come to church. You don't know. It's often like that. He brought passion. He brought love. And he brought fire. He brought fire. And it was at that point that I realized that the sermon I had written had to be scrapped. So then I rewrote it. The Archbishop of Canterbury was being interviewed by Sky News around about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon as I was then pondering what to say. With Bishop Michael after the wedding reception. And the Sky News reporter were asking him about people's reactions to the sermon. And he said this: I think we saw in that preaching is not a past art. The use of language to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ just blew the place open. It was fantastic. You could see people caught up in it and excited by it. Agree? Yeah. So when asked by the Sky News reporter about what had inspired him to preach the sermon that he did, Bishop Curry said this: the good news of Jesus Christ. That it really is good news, actually. And that the good news, not only that we are loved, but this love is more than a simple sentimental thing. But this is a way of life that makes a difference in people's lives and the life of the world. It's real and it's wonderful and it's meant for us all. Amen? Amen. It's revival. So the Sky News reporter wasn't getting what he was wanting from these two men of God. And he's challenging Justin Welby about how different and unconventional it was in St. George's Chapel with the sermon and a gospel choir. I mean, who knew that you should have gospel stuff in a wedding service? And he said, well, can you comment on the unconventionality of it? And Justin Welby, said this: there is nothing conventional about Christianity. Christianity is all about taking sin and me out of the center of the world and putting God through Jesus Christ and the love of God into the center of the world and blowing open a revolution that gives an energy and a life to the world that no one has ever replicated or seen. There is nothing conventional about Christianity, and so it's appropriate that it was unconventional. Amen? I was like going, yes, yes! I was getting so excited. Paul walked into the office and he went, what are you doing? I went, Justin Welby, he's fantastic. And then he added, I was almost had to cross my legs. I was so excited at this point. Then he said, people were gripped. It was raw God. And that's the business. And that was also the story of Pentecost. When God took over and communicated a message that the world needed to hear. And that's why he enabled people to hear the message in their own language, so that the good news of Jesus Christ would seep into their hearts, so that the sermon, jam-packed full of the good news of Jesus Christ, would make it down to the place where they needed to hear it, and then be passed on. People were gripped. It was raw God, and that's the business. I love that. And that's the story of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does and transforms and energizes and makes all the difference in the world. So maybe that's why our hearts beat a little faster when we hear the Pentecost story. Because these people were alive. These people were excited about their faith. They were excited about what God could do in their lives. They were on fire with something positive and earth-shaking. And don't we all need a bit of that? As I watched the people in St. George's Chapel yesterday, some of them had a bit of that and they didn't know what to do with it. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. And the disciples saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And when God had got everyone's attention, when he had got there, got in, up goes the invited speaker of the day. Not an American bishop, but a fisherman turned apostle, Peter. I'm sure he didn't look like that, but hey. And he preaches up a storm, not a Twitter storm, not a social media storm, but a storm that changes real lives. And we're told 3,000 people were added to the church's number that day. It would make the membership service very long, wouldn't it? I could hardly manage with six names. 3,000 people, we'd have to go past quarter to 12. 3,000 people, 3,000 net, would have to do that a bit differently, I think. 3,000 people were added to the church that day. 3,000 people saved. Pentecost was all about getting the message out so that people could hear God. Hear God, the God that changes lives. So they could hear God speak to them in their own language and be convinced of his nearness and his realness. For me, Pentecost is all about communication, as well as the power of the Holy Spirit. How are we at communicating faith with others? How did you do it earlier on with a simple saying hello to someone who's got the same colour on as you? I know some people, please don't make us move out of our chair, Louise. Please don't make us speak to somebody. I don't actually like people. They smell. Please don't make me move. Some people will have found that difficult. I know. Not everybody is Tigger. Some of us are Eeyores. I'm not. You may have noticed that. Pentecost is remembered as the birthday of the church, the day when the early church was founded, when our story as church began. When people began to tell the story of what God in Christ had done for them. When God breathed his freshest breath into the church. Now, my challenge to you is, if that has happened to you, if God has touched you, or healed you, or strengthened you, or comforted or calmed you, then that's a story you need to tell. Because that's a story that transforms. And people need to hear that story. How people need to hear that story. Our lovely Peter read from the Old Testament, Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. It's an interesting passage. Under God's direction, Ezekiel commands the dry bones to rise and put on blood and flesh, sinew and skin. But they're still not alive. Even in this condition, they're not alive. They're without breath, without oxygen, without the spirit that brings genuine life, abundant life, fulfilled existence. It's not until God instructs Ezekiel to infuse life, to breathe, that they come alive. Ezekiel is to call the people to live, and it's only when God breathes that they do. I love that. That's a Pentecost story. As much as gathered in a room with fire. Like these dried dead bones, the people of God were gathered in fear in Jerusalem after Jesus had ascended. And they were waiting because they were asked to. And they were gathered despondent and depressed lots until God decided to move and breathe, and he gives them the spirit of redemption, the spirit of new life, new hope, new expectation for his church. And he raises an army with a breath, just as those bones were raised, and the transformation is mind-blowing. He brings the fire. And the transformation on that ragbag group of disciples and those hearing those words from God is just as dramatic as on that valley of dry bones. Because the Holy Spirit is about the transformation that happens when the breath of God and the fire of God that only God can bring. Nothing less than miracles. Rebirth. Speaking new languages, new breath in old bones. God does what he needs to do to transform his church, to move on his people to new life. It's a Pentecost story, but it's also a today story. Because we have that same Pentecostal Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's not changed, still available for us. Here and now, in power, but also in gentleness. I think the Pentecost story in Acts and this story from Ezekiel is what I call a wow passage. You read it and you go, wow, isn't that amazing? And they take our breath away with the vision of what God can do. And sometimes we need to hear those passages again because we get stuck. We end up in stuck places. stuck in places and patterns and in people that we found ourselves with. Perhaps today you've come to church and you're feeling anything but full of Pentecostal power and fizz. Perhaps you're feeling flattened and featureless, or depressed and a bit despondent today. Perhaps you're feeling actually that the Valley of Bones is actually more your story at the moment than the power of Pentecost. Perhaps you're feeling today that you're just about hanging on in there, and you've got to church, and that's okay, because you're here, you've made it out of bed, and you're here, and you're smiling, and you just want me to shut up now. That's okay. Because I know that we all have times like that, when we're dry and when we're in a stuck place, when we feel barren, when we're in the valley. But that's not a place to stay. That's a place to travel through. And there's a promise in today's readings for us that death is not the end, that God can always do the impossible, even when we have given up. God can find another way. And Jesus makes a way. That's the story of the cross. That God brings joy out of defeat. He brings life out of death. A resurrection Sunday out of a seemingly bad Friday. That's what Jesus does. And if you don't know that Jesus, maybe today's the day to say your yes. To begin again, because Jesus has said yes to you. The wind is waiting, the oxygen is obtainable, and God wants to be with his church. So my question and my challenge to you today is, will you let that happen? Because God needs our yes. Will you let the Holy Spirit move in you, in power and in gentleness, in precision into your soul? Will we let the Holy Spirit move in this church and breathe fresh and transforming breath across all that we have that's tired? Or do we continue in a valley of dry bones? Today is the birthday of the church. We have cake to celebrate Blake's birthday. I wish I'd thought of having Pentecost cake. Next year, I'll remember. Today we celebrate the fact that God has not given up on his church. But we also remember that we have a message of good news and fire to share. And that our calling is to go and share the story of what God has done for us outside of our doors, in our front lines, amongst our families, even with our work colleagues. God means business. God has always meant business and has chosen us, the church, to be the bearers of good news. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit empowers us. Let's go and be the church.